at some point, and their recovery is impossible.
Hi, family. I'm a grateful recovering addict, and my name is Linda. That's good?
Yeah, you
could. Okay. Oh, no. You're not like this shit. Oh, God. Thank God for the rooms in Alcoholics Anonymous. Unconditional love. I'm going to get this out the way. I'm real nervous. But seeing y'all faces out there, y'all got me. I'm going to get real emotional because I'm talking about something that touches my spirit and my heart. Right? I had to learn how to be unconditional because when I was growing up, if you was good in school, you got treats. You got perks. So that's a condition. You was good at what you did. You might have got a hit. Whatever it was. I suffer from perfection. Trying to be perfect comes with a whole lot of negativity because it comes with a whole lot of masks. Came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and y'all was telling me the mask must go. But how do you remove something that you're so comfortable with being and doing, right? Come in here and find out I got character defects. And one of my major character defects is caretaking. I got to make sure you're okay, even if I'm fucked up. I got to make sure you're okay, even if I'm fucked up. So coming in here, and for a long time, I came into the rooms, I had a lot of fun. Went to a lot of conventions, met a lot of people. But really, I wasn't doing a whole lot of work on myself. Right? I have 24 years, 8 months, thank you, Dion. 8 months, and how many days? Okay, but anyway, 24 years and 8 months, right? And I remember when I first came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, my first meeting, I was propositioned by someone that was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through and by an outside facility. And I used to get high with this person, right? And he said, if you come with me to this place, I'm going to buy you a 20. So my thing is, you going to buy me a 20? What I got to do? Because you don't do something without getting something back. He was like, no, I just want you to come to this place with me, and I want you to see what the Rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is about. And he brought me down to St. Mark's. And if anybody know how St. Mark's is, it was nasty, it was dirty, people was using it in the back. At that time, the bathroom was working, right? But all I kept thinking about, and this is 1987, right? All I kept thinking about was that 20. I don't remember the speaker. I don't remember what he looked like. I don't know if it was a man or a woman. All I knew is that I stay here, I'm going to get $20 worth of cocaine, and I ain't got to give myself up, right? But the person I went with had the pamphlet, Am I an Addict? Right? So after the meeting was over, we sat in my car, I had a little hoopie at the time, and he read the questions, because it's like 27 questions in there, right? And every question that he asked was like, yes. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, Okay. And he got to one question, and it wasn't a yes, it was a no. And it was like, have you ever been institutionalized or incarcerated or whatever because of your using? And at that time, it was no. So now all of the answers to those questions is yes. Right? Anyway, he gave me the 20. So, of course, I thought that's what I had to do here in the rooms in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, like if I keep coming, somebody's going to keep giving me stuff. You know, I was like, I like this place. You know, but it wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. It took for me to hit a bottom that only I could feel. That hit my fucking gut to the point where I said, you know what, I don't want to live like this anymore. So I made the decision. I went back to St. Mark's, right? And I worked at night. What happened was I made the morning meeting, right? There was a person that was at the meeting. And you don't know where you're going to get the love from, especially if you're new, right? You don't know about unconditional love. And I came into the meeting, and it got to the sharing part, and I raised my hand, and this person, I love her with my whole heart, and that was Linda R. She said, baby, how much time you got? I was like, I got about 20 some days. She said, bitch, put your hand down. You don't know shit about fucking staying clean. Put your hand down. I'm looking at her like, you know who you talking to? She had her little locks. They was about this long. And anyway, I did not know that that was the beginning of me learning how to sit still, be quiet, because I didn't know anything about staying clean. You know, I had to sit on my hand, right? I had to keep looking at this woman, right? And then when I got my first year, she was the one that had said, I am so proud of you. She put her arms around me, and I cried. And she also said, your mother, I got her, because my mother came to my first anniversary. She said, don't worry, I got moms, I'm going to sit her down. Right? So I started believing what was told to me about let us love you until you learn to love yourself. Because I thought I knew how to love myself. If I dressed good, I was loving myself. If I went to work and I got paid, I was loving myself because I had money. But it's not about that. It's about that inside, that feeling that sometimes I didn't know how to, you know, describe it. I didn't know the words. I just knew that I was in a safe place. And I kept making the meetings down there at St. Mark's. Then I started going to the zoo on 129th. Right? So I was making meetings all in Manhattan. And I'm from Brooklyn. And I was sitting there and I was playing cards and I don't know, and they're in here, Jesse, I love you. She may not know. I was sitting there playing cards and she bit me on the back of my neck, right? And I felt so a part of. She hugged me. I remember Francis and, you know, all of the people that I really don't see that much now, right? And I was like, damn, I fucking belong. this love, yo, this feel good. That shit was like, it was feeling better than the hits I was getting. Because I chased that shit. So they say do what you did when you was out there in here chasing like you did out there. Because I chased for so long trying to get that hit, that ultimate, that shit that just had to, ooh. And I couldn't get it. And I come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I ain't got to spend no money because I ain't got a lot. I may look like I do, but I don't have a whole lot. But I have y'all. Yo, when I look at, if y'all can see your faces, man, I'm telling you right now. Then I've been here for a while, and I started going back to being conditional, started becoming complacent. And not with, no, I ain't gonna lie, with my working the program. Because you can be in here and you can ride this as long as you want, but you got to do some work if you want to free yourself. You got to do some work. I'm talking about step work, getting with your sponsor, getting with the God of your understanding. You know, I mean, if just being abstinent is enough for you, God bless you. Because you could be in here like I was, and I was clean, and I was crazy. I was doing a whole lot of stuff that was conditional. Because my thing was, if I do something, you're supposed to do it back. If I love you this way, you're supposed to love me back. This way. And like I said, I people please and I cared to for so long. Not knowing that while I was doing some work, I was doing that because I was trying to find the father that I had in my life. And nobody is ever going to replace that man. So I thought I'd find me a daddy up in here. Because I ain't have a sugar daddy when I was using. So let me find a sugar daddy up here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You ain't got to spend a whole lot of money, you know, just like, you know. Just a little bit, just a little bit. You know, but I had real difficult times in intimate, committed relationship areas, right? And in 1995, on my birthday, I'm gonna show you how unconditional love works. In 1995, on my birthday, I was with someone that I thought that I really loved, right? And if you know anything about date rape, where you say no, but the person forced themselves on you, that happened to me, right? And when it happened to me, I thought I was damaged goods after that. I thought nobody would want me after that. So I had to work real hard if I got with somebody so that you won't leave me. So I did whatever you wanted me to do. And it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling. Because when you are people pleasing, but caretaking, you acting out on every character defect and adding something that you didn't have in your life because you want to please somebody else so they won't leave you. And you're conditioning yourself. You're putting yourself in an area. You're not working that spiritual principle. You're not working nothing positive because you don't want to be by yourself, Linda. You settle. It took for the last 3 years when I asked my sponsor to come back in my life, that I found out that I'm not damaged goods, that I could allow y'all to love me unconditionally, and I could be in a relationship with someone, but I have to be in a relationship with the God of my understanding first. I really gotta let him love me unconditionally. I really got a feeling. I had to do that for me. I got to know who I am. I got to learn who I am. And the only way I'm going to do that is to leave everybody out. And I mean not my friends, but I'm talking about the men. And that's fucking hard. Because they're obstacles. They get in the way of me to learn how to love myself unconditionally. Because how can I love you unconditionally if I can't do it for me? And we've been working. And I got married in this process, right? My husband and I separated. But since I have been doing work on me and I am accepting him for who he is, this is the best relationship that I have with him. I never thought that I was worthy enough to receive from you what y'all give to me. I'm talking about simple as a hug. I love you. You're a beautiful person. You're here. Come on, let's do this. Because I'm thinking when you, like I said, when you do something to me, I feel I got to do it back. I got to. You know, it's like even if you just say, I love you because I got to explain. No, baby, just keep it simple. Keep it simple. And I'm in the sex part of the fourth step. And the first question talks about selfishness in the sexual behavior. I had to close the book. I couldn't do it. Because I started seeing how, even still, right now, how I'm still selfish in some areas, and particularly that area. So why? I gotta persevere. I gotta push past, and I gotta do the damn thing if I want to get better. Cause I mean I'm good, and see my disease is telling me you ain't gotta do that, boo. Come on, you ain't gotta do that. You all right now? Come on, you don't have to do it. You know about unconditional love. You know about all of these spiritual principles. You ain't gotta do all of that work. Because, see, the disease is my thinking. Even with 24 years, I still think shit upside down, sideways, backwards. You know? But what I do different is I call my sponsor and I say and I tell her what's going on with me. How do I? Because, see, I knew I needed help, but I really didn't want to reach out and ask for it. Because I'm thinking she should know, so I don't have to ask. Just like I know God knows exactly what I need, so I don't have to ask him. How are we going to know how to help you if you don't let us know? So do work on me, and I allow y'all to love me. So I can learn how to give it back. to the person that's walking through the door for the first time, or the person that's been here that is struggling, that doesn't need to be acted on the judgment, like, shit, you've been here long enough, you should fucking know. You know better. Yo, I know better, and what? You know what? If you're not here to build me up, then leave me alone. Because this is what we're here for. We're here to build each other up. We don't need nobody to tear us down talking about you've been here for 24 years. You should know better. Yeah, I fucking know better. But I still did it, and what? And what? But that lady said, ain't nobody got time for that. I don't want to hear that. Just love me. Love me. And if you got to say something, please come to me in a loving and caring way. And if you don't know how to do that without being judgmental on it, fall back, boo. Let somebody else do it. Let God use somebody else. That's why I keep coming. I keep coming to these rooms because I'm not going to get that out there. I'm not going to get that in the crack spot. They kept telling me, bitch, shut up. Shut up. They was calling me mumbles because I couldn't even talk. So I knew if I fucked with you, you might give me a hint so you could shut me up. I fuck with you. They ain't put that shit in there. Okay? Boom! Scare the shit out your ass. Bro, that bitch crazy. Put her ass out. Boom, boom, you got to go. Oh, but you stay here long enough, you get to know who you are, and you are not that person that you thought you was. Because we are some loving and caring and understanding, and we will look at you out the side of our fucking eye, but we still, we love you. I love you. I love you, baby. Please keep coming. Please. You really don't. No, keep coming. Keep coming. You know, because the diversity in this program is off the hook. Because, see, I'm like this. My condition, if you do it the way I say do it, you're going to be all right. Just do it. No, don't ask no questions. Just do it because I know what's best for you. So if you do it like that, and maybe 9 times out of 10, it might work. That's why I'm here. That's exactly why I'm here. Because I'm not all there. But I know when I walk through the door, I don't care what I'm feeling. And I walk through that door right there, and I see y'all, and I see these faces, I know I'm loved. I know I'm loved. And I'm able to give it back without worrying about what I'm going to give back. And that's from doing some real intense work. So if you knew, please give yourself a break. Let us love you until you learn to love yourself. That is so important, because if you use like I did and you came in the door like I did and you get somebody to bite on the back of your neck like I did, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right, and you're going to be able to pass that on to the next one and the next one, because this is a program of attraction, you know. I don't have to spend no money when I come in here. I ain't got to buy nobody. I ain't gotta make you like me. You like me, you don't. Fuck you. No, I got to say it like that because I couldn't, like, I really couldn't understand, like, how could you not like me? Look at me, man. Come on, how could you not? But not everyone is going to receive you the way that you think that they're supposed to. And it's okay. Because look at the other person that truly, truly loves you. And just because we may not say it, we do. We love you. We do. We love you. We love you. I love you. I love you. Yo, let me tell you something. You know how much money that was that I would have spent in the crack spot to get this feeling? Ooh, a whole lot of money. I'd have been all on my knees. I'd have been doing all kind of stuff. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be quiet. I learned how to do a lot of stuff here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, too. Okay? I learned how to do a lot of stuff, and I had to change because the way I was receiving some attention was the way that I was putting it out there. So if I'm being all like, look at me, and I look at you in your eye, and like, what you doing? And what you doing? So what you want to do? And ain't a word been said. We just looking at each other. And I'm saying I did that here. But it gets to a point where if you're working, right, and people that truly love you that'll pull your coat, and they're not doing it to be malicious, but they're doing it because they know that it's not right for your spirit. They may have been there before. They will let you know, like, yo, baby, that's, come on. That's not you. That's not nice. That's not nice. That's not nice. And then until I actually felt it, you know how it is to go to somebody's anniversary, the person they're celebrating, I slept with. Three of his speakers, I slept with. Looked around the room, I slept with. And when I shared it with the women at the time that I was with, they was like, oh, girl, please. The men do that all the time. But it wasn't feeling comfortable. It wasn't feeling good. And I stopped. Because if you could stop using drugs, you could stop acting on things that are causing you some harm. Learn to love yourself up in here. If you want to do it, hey, fine, fuck it, go ahead. Sleep with whoever you want to, do whoever you want to, listen. But until you're ready, like they say, how is it? When the student's ready, the teacher will appear. God ain't never left me. He's like, y'all, go ahead, baby, go keep bumping your head. Go ahead, keep bumping pelvises. Go ahead, boo. Do your thing, go ahead. And when he touched that spirit, I was sitting there in that meeting. I'm in a meeting. And God said, okay, baby, look. Look over there. Look at that one. Look at that one. He's like, but you know what? I'm still with you, baby. I'm still with you. So what you want to do? You want to keep living like this? Because I'm not going to leave you. But I'm going to let you keep doing what you're doing. But what you going to do? And that's when I really started making the decision, like, yo, I can't lie. Because I didn't want to get a reputation in here. I didn't want to get a reputation. So when people come up to me today, I know I'm not sleeping with your husband. I know I'm not sleeping with your man. And that's a good feeling. People come to me and say, "You have not changed, Linda. You've always loved me the same way since the first day I met you." That feels good. Because I don't ever want to think that I'm better than anybody in here. We all are here for help. We all are sick and suffering addicts. If it ain't you today, it's me. If it ain't me, it's him. If it ain't him, it's her. That's why we're here, to help each other unconditionally. Not to, "Yeah, well, Linda helped me, and I want y'all to say yes." I mean, you know, it'll stroke my ear, though. I ain't gonna lie. But I'm doing it out of the love that God is giving me. I love the people that's in my life. I love this program. I love this convention. I've been coming here for many years. Willie, I'm going to tell you how I got to share up here, right? Because Willie T sitting right there pulled me off the line and he told the woman, "I got somebody for you." But it was really supposed to be Frank P sitting right there. That one right there. He was supposed to be up here standing. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. I love this fellowship. I love this program. I love y'all. I love y'all. Right? And I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep getting better and better and better. And I'm going to keep receiving the love so I can give it back. It may sound like it's conditional, but it's really unconditional. Because I know y'all love me for me to be able to give it back. Thanks for listening.
Candace, I'm an addict from Baltimore. Let's thank Linda for sharing. Okay, at this time I would like to introduce our second speaker. Her name is Cindy from Baltimore.
Hey family, I'm an addict named Cindy. First and foremost, I want to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here. I want to thank the committee for inviting me to share on overcoming resentment. I think I want to thank them. My experience is yesterday, my strength is today, and my hope is for tomorrow. You know, I used because I did not like or love myself. I used because I wanted to be anybody other than who I was. I used over my feelings. No matter how I felt. If I was happy, I used. If I was sad, I used. If I was angry and resentful, I used. If the sun was shining, I used. If it was snowing, I used. And I used to think that I suffered from the disease of the feelings until I got here and I learned that I suffered from the disease of addiction. You know, and it's funny because I say that I used over my feelings until I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I couldn't even tell you how I felt. My sponsor would call me and she would say, "How do you feel today?" I don't know. I couldn't identify with my feelings. And until this day, the longest journey for me has always been from my head to my heart. So I'm saying all that to say that if I couldn't even identify with my feelings, how am I going to identify with the resentment? And so I used to think that anger and resentment was the same thing. Everybody that pissed me off, I had a resentment. And so what I learned through step work was that anger is the one emotion that I am in touch with the most. My sadness is the one emotion that I am in touch with the least. I learned that anger can be a very healthy emotion. It becomes unhealthy for me when I act down on it in a negative way. And what I learned about resentments for me is a very useless emotion because it does nothing but drain me. It affects me mentally and emotionally, and it leads me to nothing but a spiritual decay. So what is a resentment? Resentments are masturbation. You're only fucking yourself. Resentment is me drinking poison and waiting for you to die. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I've walked around resentful towards a motherfucker and they didn't even know it. They walking around happy, joyous, and free. And I'm dying on the inside, right? A resentment is the way that most of us react to our past. It is the reliving of past experiences again and again and again in our minds. We have resentments when we re-feel old feelings, when we are unable to let go, when we cannot forgive and forget something that has upset us. So the first resentment I got in touch with was the resentment that I had against myself. But yet, the first time I did an eight step, the hardest person for me to put on the list was me. You know, because I had a hard time letting go and forgiving myself for the things that I had done. You see, I lied, cheated, stole, manipulated, conned, used, abused, took advantage of people, laid places and things. I went to any length to do what I had to do to get it back to do. I was like a fucking freight train, and anything that got in my way, I was going to cause you harm. But at the end of the day, the person that I caused harm to the most was myself. You know, so I had to get to a place, man, where like, you know, I had to learn that like the things that I did does not make me who I am today. You know, I've had a resentment against my mother my whole life. I grew up with a single parent that was physically, mentally, verbally, and emotionally abusive. And I hated my mother for what she did to me. I hated her for the way that she treated me. And I used to say that I hated my mother's behaviors, and what I hated even more was that I was just like her. You see, I believe in learned behavior. And I had a grandfather that was an alcoholic and drank for 50 years and abused my mother. My mother abused me, and what did you think that I did? I abused other people. I believe in learned behavior. You know, and I talk about my mother all the time, right? Because I have this relationship with my mother today. It's a very strainful relationship. It's like a love-hate relationship, right? But I love my mom, you know, and I had a breakthrough about when I had 10 years clean. And what happened was I was dating somebody that my mother didn't approve of. And as a result, she made a decision to disown me for 2 years. So then I became even more resentful. I'm an only child. My mother didn't have nothing to do with me for 2 years. And for the first time in my life, I believed in what you people told me. Cindy, you have got to stand for something or you will fall for anything. For the first time in my life, I learned how to cut that umbilical cord. For the first time in my life, I learned how to stand up, right? And I said, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do because it's what I want to do and it makes me happy. Because no matter what I did or no matter what I said, I tried all my life to make my mother happy and to seek her approval, and it was never good enough. Never good enough. And I got to a place, man, in my recovery where I realized that I didn't have to seek approval no more from nobody but the God of my understanding. You know, it took me a long time. Look, they talk about the triangle of self-obsession, anger, fear, and resentment, and breaking them cycles. And in the end, it says that we must break the cycle. We must grow up or die. And I feel like I finally had a breaking point in my recovery where I was learning how to break the cycle. I'm talking about learning how to break the cycle of the abuse. You can't talk to me any old kind of way anymore. And don't get it fucked up. I ain't like that every day. Some days are good and some days ain't so good. I'll be on the phone and one day I might be like, you know what, I love you, but that is unacceptable. You have a good day. Click up. Then I might have a bad day and I might feed right on into that shit. So I had to get to a place, man, where like what I realized is my mother don't have a program. I do. Right? And I had to get to a place of acceptance. It's been so hard to just accept people for where they're at. Instead of me always trying to change them or put them where I think that they should be. You know, and like I said, I talk about the thing with my mother all the time, right? But I gotta say that my mother has a lot of wonderful qualities. And I have been blessed to be able to inherit some of those wonderful qualities about her. I don't know about anybody else. I serve an awesome God. And it is amazing when the God of my understanding works in my life. But when you see the God of my understanding working in the lives of others around me and my parents and my children, Narcotics Anonymous has not only changed me, it has changed my family. So like I said, I got this, you know, strained relationship with my mother, but even so, today, it is the best that it has ever been. And no matter what, my mother's got my back. It took me 13 treatment centers to realize that just maybe heroin was a problem. And no matter how many times I went in and out, when I came out, she would say, I love you, you're going to make it this time, and I will use again. And over and over and over, and even till this day, right or wrong, no matter what, she's got my back. And she don't always like, she don't understand this. You know, she doesn't get, like, why I still go to meetings. She called me the other day, what you doing? Getting ready to go to a meeting. Ain't you tired of them people? What people, Mom? Well, you know those NA people. Well, I am an NA person. Well, yeah, you know, but you've been clean for a while. You still got to go to meetings all the time. I said, check this out. You remember when I was using and I stole all your shit? Yeah? I said, well, if I don't go to meetings, I'm coming back to steal all your shit. She said, well, you go to a meeting now. You have a good day. Shout out to my mother. I love my mother. You only got one mother. You know, I've experienced some resentments with having people in my life that I love and care about, right? Who have relapsed and who are struggling with this disease. You know, and it took me a long time to separate the two. Because I took that shit personal. Because I loved him and I cared about him so much. And I kept having resentments towards the person instead of having a resentment towards the disease of addiction. God is good. I have an uncle in this room. He had 5 years clean. He relapsed. He went used for 9 years. He came back. He just celebrated a year. And this is his first Ocean City convention. Who did I have a resentment against? Was it him or the disease of addiction? I got a father that used. I knew he did some stuff, but I didn't know he did some stuff. I put my father through hell. All of a sudden, I got clean. Found out he was using. How in the fuck does that happen? Did I have a resentment against him or the disease of addiction? I got clean and found him with a needle in his neck. My father is doing better today than he's ever done. I have a best friend. I've been best friends with for 27 years. Our clean time was a year apart. When she had around 12 years clean, she called me and told me that she had relapsed. I took it personal. I was devastated. You know, relapse isn't a part of my story. I need to say that. And the reason why it's not a part of my story is because I never worked a program. I've had my fair share of going in and out of meetings, and I picked up 1,001 white key tags, but I've never worked a program. So as far as I'm concerned, I've never relapsed. I took a break and I kept getting high. But I've had so many people in my life around me who have. And I've got experience with them that way. You know, and I got that phone call 3 years ago. And they say it is so hard to come back once you relapse. They say it is so hard, man, once you get that monkey on your, once you wake it up to get it off your back. You know, and she's here and she's in this room and she's struggling today. And I just want you to know that I love you. And as long as there is breath in your body, I got a hope for you. You know, so it took me a long time, man, to make that separation. I didn't have resentments against them. I had resentments against the disease of addiction because at the end of the day, they ain't doing nothing and they ain't saying nothing that I ain't already done. What we fucking use, we use. And we don't care who we hurt in the process. When you're caught up in a grip. I know, I remember what it was like when I was using and I didn't want to use and I didn't know how to not use. I got into a relationship when I got here. It was probably the only suggestion I didn't take. I had 2 weeks clean. I married him. We stayed together for 10 years. He relapsed. He was in and out, in and out, in and out. I had about 10 years clean. I had to make a decision to do something different. Because y'all told me if nothing changes, nothing changes. I said, bullshit, if nothing changes, my fucking clean date will. You know, it's one thing to get yourself backed up in the corner. You don't know if you're coming out clean. My ass was coming out clean and crazy. Not practicing a spiritual one. So I had a resentment towards him for many years for the things that he had done. But the real deal was my resentment wasn't towards him. It was against the disease of addiction. Because once again, he didn't do nothing to me that I wouldn't have done to anybody else when I was caught up in the grip. And you know what? It's like real important for me, man, to like, I've really got to take a look at the part that I play and stuff. And that ain't easy all the time. And it's so easy for me to play the blame game and the blame stop on you and to look at the part that you play, because when I focus on you, that means I ain't got to focus on me. And when I'm focused on the amends that I think that you need to make to me because of the resentment I have towards you, then it somehow in my mind that frees me from doing it the other way around. I told you I believe in learned behavior. There was a lot of abuse in my family. And people who were close to me and who were in my network who really know me, I've always struggled in that area with verbal abuse. People who know me know that I'm a little rough around the edges and I can cut somebody with my tongue. And it isn't always about what I say, but how I say it. And I've gotten a lot better with it, but I still fall short at times. And I practice a lot of verbal abuse in my marriage. And I really had to take a look at, you know, the amends that I owed him instead of looking at the amends that I thought that he owed me. You know, and I had to get to a place, man, where, like, you know, I learned that forgiveness is a human place that is within. And I had to first learn how to forgive myself. One of my most recent experiences with resentment, you know, I think I went a couple years in my recovery, and I was good. I ain't have no resentments towards nobody, no anger, no nothing. Until this year. I sponsored somebody for a couple of years, and we allowed money to come between our relationship. Bad combination. So again, I got to look at my part, right? I owed her money for a bill. And I was struggling at the time in my life, in my recovery. I lost my job, I had no income, and I couldn't pay the bill at a sufficient amount of time that it was supposed to be paid. But I didn't look at any of that. And I developed this resentment because every single day for 30 days, she put bad shit about me on Facebook. That motherfucking Facebook. And in the end, she put my fourth step on Facebook. I had a motherfucking resentment. Do you know how hard it is to practice spiritual principles when you are angry and resentful? But I got to tell you, I was proud of myself, the way that I handled that situation. And you know, people like to fucking instigate, right? And people would come up and you know, like, oh man, if I was you, the things that I would do. And if I would have did half the shit that I thought about in my mind, I'd probably still be in jail. And I was proud of myself because I never said anything, never did anything. And I tried to the best of my ability to practice spiritual principles. I tried to the best of my ability not to act out on my anger. I tried the best I could to just stay in my lane and stay in my position. And it wasn't easy. But you know, it's important for me. Let me just say that my character is important to me. And you know what? We watch people around here. I know I do. I know when I was first coming in the door and I was a newcomer, I was watching the old timers to see what they were going to do and what they were going to say and how they were going to act. And I believe that no matter where I am, even when I'm not in the meeting, I represent the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And I wanted to be a representation of a lady. And so I did the best thing that I knew how to do. I went to God. You know, but like I said, I had to take a look at the part that I played, because I didn't pay the bill in the time that it was supposed to be paid, I fucked up a credit. You know, and so not only do I recognize the resentment that I've had towards people, but I got to recognize the resentment that the ones that people have had towards me. Right? And I got to, like, get in touch with men that, like, at the end of the day, we are all just doing the best that we can. I want to read something. Maybe we can be more forgiving and loving if we just assume from the start that most people's intentions are good. And if that someone is unkind to us, it may be because he or she is in a lot of pain and are very distracted by it. So I had to, like, get to a place, man, where, like, I had to just go on the other side. And at the end of the day, I do believe that, like, people are just trying to do the best that they can. So I recognize resentments that people have towards me as well. I have a friend of mine. We had a friendship for a long time. I don't know if she developed a resentment against me or not. I think it's pretty safe to say that she did. Because I practiced some behavior that I ain't ever practiced in my life. You know, and I want to thank you for sharing. Because the one thing that I got in touch with when you shared was how you did something in 24 years clean, and what? And so, you know what? I'm just going to let it fucking roll. I got 15 years clean. Right? And I did something in my recovery that I didn't even do when I was getting high.
Help somebody.
Yeah, I got a story using, but I got one clean. So there was a female that was messing with a male. And they was messing with each other for about a year. And I came in the picture. And I messed with her man. But what's even sadder is that that man wasn't even fucking hers to mess with. The man was somebody else's. Ring around the rosy. You know, and so I'm in a place right now, man, where, like, you know, I don't have any resentments against anybody just for today. And it's just a freeing feeling. But I know that there are people that have resentments towards me. But check this out. I went to a speaker jam a couple months ago in Baltimore. And we both shared at the speaker jam. My topic was self-acceptance. Her topic was reservation. You see, sometimes you ain't even got to do shit. Because God will bring it all together. I ain't seen that girl in I don't know how long, walked into that speaker gym. I said, oh shit. This is how good God is. She walked up to me. No words were spoken. She gave me a hug. She embraced me. She looked at me and she said, you know what, Cindy? It's okay. Developing a compassion spirit becomes possible at this stage in recovery.
Before we did the work involved in the previous steps, we were too caught up in resentment, blame, and self-pity to think about others. Along with our ability to think of ourselves as ordinary human beings, we begin to see that others are doing the best that they can with their humanness too. That's right, I'm human. We know we are subject to periodic doubts of insecurities about ourselves because so are others. We know we are likely to speak before thinking, and so are others. We realize that they regret it as much as we do. We know we are prone to misleading situations or over or under reacting to them. As a result, when we see others act on a character defect today, we feel empathy rather than annoyance or anger because we know what caused them to act as they did. Our hearts feel full when we think about how we share the same dreams, the same fears, the same passions, thoughts as everybody else. So how do I overcome a resentment? I practice spiritual principles to the best of my ability. I stay in my lane as much as I can. I stay in position and I try to align my will with God's will. I try to practice the spiritual principles of empathy and compassion because I know without that I can't practice forgiveness, which forgiveness is a healing process within, and without forgiveness I can't overcome a resentment. And first and foremost, how do I overcome a resentment? I take a step back and I look at the part that I played and I recognize that in Narcotics Anonymous, I don't give a fuck where you come from, how much clean time you have. Look, we got one message. And at the end of the day, we are all doing the very best that we can. And the number one way that I overcome resentment is I pray. I go to the God of my understanding because, like I said, I serve an awesome God. And check it out, when I pray for the other person, I don't know if it's going to work for them, but it sure as hell works for me. Thanks for allowing me to share.